I appreciate the pastors here, LaRue, Anna, Pastor Chuck. I appreciate them because the word tells us we need a teacher. How can you hear without a teacher? And then it also says, how can he teach unless he be sent? And I know LaRue is sent. And Anna and Pastor Chuck and Kim, I appreciate the leadership here. You know, I don't know anything but what you see. All I know is the love. I was one of 8 children. I'm the oldest. And it was in my household, my parents taught, we had to love each other. And if we had unforgiveness, if one of the kids made the other kid angry during the day, you could not go to bed until you asked for forgiveness and you had to pray. I mean, my mom had all 8 of us around the bed on our knees praying every night. We had to ask God to forgive us what we did during the day, and we had to repent. So when I was 7, I received the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know I received the Holy Spirit. I just thought I had received salvation. So a guy came to our hometown when I was 9 by the name of A. Allen. And he had a tent revival. And that's when he had a tent full of people. And I begged my dad to take me to this revival because I would hear him on the radio. And I was 9 years old, so we went, and we was all the way in the back. So he called me out, and he told me, he said, you have something that you don't know how to explain it, what to do with it. So he said, it's called the Holy Spirit. And I got water baptized when I was 7. And when I got water baptized by my mom's pastor, and he merged me down in the water, I saw something that looked like a dove, but I knew later that I was too young to understand, but it was like Jesus, and it was the love that he baptized me in when I got water baptized. So it's just went from one thing to another one. And so Pastor LaRue talks about keeping the word in your heart, and when you go in your secret place, when you go in there, you're one-on-one with the Holy Spirit. And in my secret place, that's love. That's where I hold the word in my heart, but I also hold the love in my heart. And the peace and the joy. And all 3 of those, to me, go together. And he gave me a word that something like what Anna was saying this morning, I'm thinking, she's talking about the light and the darkness. And he said to me, in my secret place, he said, the word is light. I give you light. And when you walk in my word and when you keep my word, then that place that you walk in is your lamp. He said, and then further, and the more clearly you go into my word, the more you will see and the more you will keep walking in my light. And there is no darkness that can follow you. So this is what I live by. And this is what took me through many trials. And my husband went home to meet the Lord at an early age. And my baby was 3 years old. God took me through that. He took me through my dad. And then, most of all, he took me through my baby. When she went home to be with the Lord on the 4th of December, that was the hardest thing that I had to encounter. But he told me, he said, if you have faith in me and you trust me, I will carry you. So that's what I had to do. And it's like it was really hard. But, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is, to me, is love. My favorite book of the Bible is 1 Corinthians and 13, chapter 13. And the fruit of the Spirit to me is love, peace, and joy. And that's what I try. I taught my kids. We was taught that, and I taught my kids. And now my kids and my grandkids are walking in this thing that they don't even know why. My daughter is a manager of a very large law firm. And she had an encounter with her secretary that she's supposed to be really angry and she was going to fire her. But God showed her how to walk in love with her and peace. And she still has that young lady. So those are the things that keep me going. And like I was telling LaRue when he called me, he was saying, I just want to know what makes you trigger. And I said, nothing makes me trigger. It's the same thing that makes you trigger. It's God and the love and the peace of God. And that's what keeps me going. In the mornings, I'm not saying everybody had the same prayer time or everybody had the same time that they visioned God with, but my time has been ever since I was a kid, 5 o'clock in the mornings. So at 5 o'clock in the mornings, I don't have an alarm clock to wake me up. God wakes me up. And we spend quite the time together, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours. I don't know. I lose time. But wherever I go, I walk in that love of God. So, you know, when I start being over hospitality, it's one thing that I liked it about hospitality. That was that hospitality represents to me is love. You get to show the people love and greeting. You get to show the people love. You get some people, sometimes I don't always wear my name tag. And sometimes people don't even know me. And they visit and they come in and they will tell me, you're the reason why I came back. Because I felt that love at that door. So that's my whole thing. But it's not by accident that Anna, our women's meeting has not always been the love meeting. It was one time it was just called a women's meeting. And Anna, when she started it back up, she called it the love ministry. And I love that. And I love my shirt. So the love meeting to me means the love of God, love one another, and love your enemies. And God said if you love your enemies, he would make your enemies be your footstool. And love your neighbors. And your neighbors don't mean always the people next door to you. You just got to love people. And if you love God, you're going to love people. And that's my thing. And, you know, when you have that love of God, you're going to be faithful. You're going to be trustworthy. And you're going to always, always be subject to authority. And you're going to have a commitment. And you got a head. And whoever your head is, if he's sent by God, then you got to be committed to that person. And I was taught that in my home when I was growing up, my parents, God was my head, but my parents, I had to become subject to my parents. Because like Anna was saying, you know, you have to chastise. My dad loved us, and he was in the military. But when he came home, we knew that he was in the house, and we had to be subject to him, and he would chastise us more than my mom. My mom would let us get away with stuff, but my dad wouldn't. And that was my favorite parent. My dad was my favorite parent. But God always also gave me successful keys. LaRue talks about his keys that he get. Now, I have some keys that I have. When God plant you in a place, that's where you got to. You got to first be obedient to God, and then you got to be obedient to your call. And whatever that call is, God is going to put you under somebody, and you got to be obedient to that somebody. And I have 5 keys. One, you must have a call from God. You can't just step up and do something on your own. Whatever you see me do at HRC, God called me to do that. It's not LaRue and it's not Anna. It's that God called me and he gave them the, you know, the vision that that's what I was called to do. And that's how you get recognition. And then you got to be willing to submit to the authority that you're under. And then you got to know that you're in God's will, because if you're not in God's will, whatever you're doing is works. And then walk in love. That's one of my favorite things. And number five is walk without offense. You cannot walk in love and get offended. You've got to have the will of God. I don't like the mic. You got to have the will of God, and you got to obey. You know, there is no way that I wanted to really do this when LaRue talked to me about 2 months ago. Me and him were round and around, but then God told me, you are very obedient. You obey God, you obey me, you obey the Holy Spirit, now you got to obey the pastor. So I called him a bully, but he's okay. And Sandy has been my friend since the 90s. And I love Sandy. And I thank you, Sandy, for your son. I thank you for you being you. Anna.
Did y'all feel the love pouring out of her heart? And you know, the Lord speaks about that, about prophecies passing away, and though I speak in the tongues of angels, you know, I mean, without love, we have nothing. And I believe as children of God, that should be our highest quest, is that pursuit of the Lord, that we ask the Lord for his love, to have eyes the way that he sees, and the heart be broken the way that his heart is broken for humanity. And that love, and that peace, and that joy, Mama Lily has that abounding to her account. There's a multiplication of that fruit. So whenever you need one of those, just come to her and let her release that over you. If you need peace, if you're anxious about something, the Lord says, be not anxious about anything. Let Mama Love give you a big hug, because sometimes that even melts down that spirit of fear or anxiousness. And it's you know, we're not always going to be loving. And as she said, don't allow any offense to come into your heart. You know, be quick to forgive. I mean, there's words of wisdom that have been released, some practical understanding, because she's walked these things out. And didn't you love that? Just, you know, go to bed. Before you go to bed, go through that forgiveness. You know, examine your heart. You know, we're all still children. We're all in different places of our maturity in walking with God in love. But that is the highest goal, is to have that love of Christ in our hearts, that we would be able to love one another. And the neighbor, as she said, it's not your direct neighbor to your left or to your right. It's the neighbor that is in your community. It's your neighbor that's in your workplace. It's the neighbor that's in the shopping center and at the mall. You know, I mean, we're called to show them love the way we love ourselves. So thank you very much for that, Lily. That was very beautiful. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you for that. And Miss Anne, would you come up and bless the ladies out of your heart of love and wisdom?
Yes. It's an honor to be here. And I want to honor my mother, who taught me to pray and to go to church. And I want to honor Mama Charlene, who made these banners here. And she's such a woman of virtue and wisdom. And I want to honor Mama Lily for her love and support. And I had a lot of similar things to say as Lily, but in a completely different way. So that's interesting. So I kind of started off as always being praying for others ever since I was real little. It was just always in my heart to secretly kneel and pray. But at age 19, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit where he became real to me. And I was born again, and I went back to the Episcopal Church to tell them,
this is real. The Lord really loves you, and He wants to give you power, and He wants to get people saved. And they just thought it was an emotional experience. So about 6 months later, I started going to a Spirit-filled church. And the first 10 years, I was all excited about praying in a new way, and I was always talking to God. I was either praying in tongues, worshiping, or asking Him, because the Word of God said that I can ask Him and receive the desires of my heart. And so I thought that meant that I could have anything I wanted. If two or more agree on anything it's touching, it's done. And my friends and I, we were in our early 20s, and we were never going to have a problem on this earth. We had it all figured out. We knew how to live life. And then, about 10 years later, I learned to listen. And I learned that Psalm 37:4 means He will literally place His desires in my heart. And when we pray according to His will, He hears us. But it's okay to pray. We don't need to be scared to ask something because He can say no. But when it's His will, when we learn to think like He thinks, that's when we can accomplish the answers to our prayers. And now I pray more like Psalm 19:14. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in Thy sight. And I pray for the Lord to purge me of everything that is not of Him and to send me His purifying fire to every thought, attitude, action, and behavior that is not Christ-like, for I am predestined to be conformed in His image. And I'm on my way, and some days I look more like Christ than other days. I'm not like Mom Lily. But I'm on my way, I have a promise from God, and I'm predestined. If I continue, I just keep coming to Him and with His mercy. That's one thing I learned from an early age, is to forgive others, and that He's always, I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in my time of need. So I always ran to God when I had a problem. So I was very fortunate. Because some people run away from God when they have a problem, and probably because I had a very loving earthly father. But His blood makes us righteous. Only His blood, nothing that we do. But we can receive more of His favor, more of His blessing, more of His destiny for us as we learn more of His ways. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." And it's a process of becoming whole, because we all have little bits and pieces and fragments, you know, where parts of us are right, you know, and parts of us aren't. And it's a process of becoming whole and becoming where we can allow His glory to come into us and stay into us, because it's the sin areas that leaks His presence. And if the more whole we get, the more we can contain of Him, which is our goal, is to be like Him. And it's promised that we're predestined to be like Him. And we are forgiven by His blood, and I just thank God that it's unconditional righteousness. I praise God for that, that His mercies are new every morning. But this does not change the laws of faith, sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, the power of our words, the necessity to forgive as we have been forgiven, which Jesus said, and the necessity to repent to cleanse our conscience. Because if our conscience grieves us, it hinders our faith. Even if God sees us as holy and righteous, there is a place for repenting. And we keep moving forward, and we're going to be transformed more and more and more. And He can do it in a second. He can just bring the fullness like that. Because I believe that when He returns, He's coming back to a body without spot or blemish. And we, as a church, look more like Him than we did 5 years ago and 10 years ago. But the progression is getting faster. It's getting faster. That's why we can't miss out. It doesn't matter if we've been in this 20 years. We can be out of position to miss out what He has right now. I believe the last 2 weeks of our church have been the best services we've ever had. And that is just so amazing, because I've been here for 15 years. But He is moving faster. He's moving quicker. And I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be put on the side. I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing. There's two main reasons why people change churches.
One is a fence, and one is feeling there's no open door for my quote-unquote ministry. In Matthew 24:10-13, Jesus is talking about signs of the end times. And he says, and then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Offense can be nipped in the bud if we choose to give it no place. We are not accountable for the thoughts that fly through our mind, but we're accountable for what we hold on to, what we feed on, what we meditate on. If we allow it to grow, if we allow offense to grow in our hearts, it can lead us to make wrong decisions, but more importantly, it can cause our hearts to wax cold and be bitter. And then we're not even fulfilling our call and our destiny. The best way to overcome offense is to show that person love, because when love comes out of you, it's like, it's an anointing. It's a spiritual force from heaven. That's the last thing you remember, and it just washes you of the offense, because sometimes an offense can try to be a stronghold in your mind. And when John the Baptist was beheaded, Jesus loved him. He loved him. And when he was beheaded, he went to a desert place apart. Matthew 14:14. But the multitude followed him, and he was moved with compassion, and he healed the sick. So even Jesus exercised that principle of ministering when he had something that could have caused him a great offense. And everyone agrees, you know, that we live during the end times or the last days. There's much talk of earthquakes and famine and unusual weather and plagues and wars and rumors of wars. But let us not forget that offense is our greatest enemy, because offense can block his love from flowing through our hearts like a river. And his love is a spiritual force. And it's easy for me to... I try to forget whatever happened, and I shift into the fact that I don't want any harm to come to that person. I don't want any human being to come to go to hell. If you meditate through offense, you know, you're almost wishing that that person goes to hell. And if you just get out of the way, his love, which is his love, not our own, will flow through you. And it's really easy, but we just have to get out of the way, because God loves... He loves that person that offended us. And I heard this teaching in Tulsa about the parable when Stephen was getting stoned and Jesus stood up. And I've always thought that Jesus was standing up to look at for Stephen, because he felt so sorry that Stephen was getting stoned. But Jesus wasn't concerned about Stephen, because Stephen was going straight to be with him, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Jesus was standing up to see the response of Stephen, to see if the very people that were stoning him could get saved. And Stephen responded correctly. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And Paul got saved from that experience and wrote most of the New Testament. And so we need to have a heart of compassion for the very people, you know, that are coming against us, because they're hurting people. You know, or they wouldn't be coming against us. And Jesus commands us to forgive as we have been forgiven. I don't deserve forgiveness, and the person who wronged me doesn't deserve forgiveness. So we just have to obey the Lord and move forward. And forgiveness heals our heart and allows us to forget it and go on. You know, because who wants to be tormented in their mind? Who wants to dwell on something like that when there's so many blessings and so much love that we can think about? We just need to get past it. We need to get past the offense and understand that God's mercy endures forever. And the Lord looks at the motives of the heart. You can do the wrong thing with the right motive, and to God that's not sin. But you can do the right thing with the wrong motive, and to God that's sin. So who am I to judge somebody else? But I do have authority to judge my own motives. And that is where we need to be looking inside. Amen, not outside. But initially, When people come to a new church, they're excited. They're so happy. And they know God called them, you know, and they even say, God's called me here, and I'm so happy to be here, and I'm going to be here with you until Jesus returns. And then offense comes, you know, and bam, it's like, where'd they go? You know, what happened? But there's a parable in Mark 4, 16 through 17, of hearing the word with gladness, and it's, the word comes to you when God calls you to a church body, you know? It's like a word of God. It's an understanding. This is my home. This is where I'm supposed to be. And people have no root in themselves, and they endure for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution comes for the word's sake, see, the enemy's trying to rob that word that God planted you here. He's trying to get you out of God's will for your life if you're called here or wherever you are, whatever church home you're in. And then immediately they are offended, just immediately. And the sad truth is when people go to the next church, the same enemy plus seven more move them out even quicker, and they never grow and mature in the Lord. I have known people in my Christian walk that have gone from church to church to church. Most of them are very evangelistic, but they never grow. They never mature because they never stop and have relationships with people. They're never accountable to anyone. And God will not trust someone with authority until they serve under authority. Doesn't that sound like Mom Lily? When we stay in one body, we cultivate relationships, okay? And God will send what we need there. If you need a miracle healing and you stay in one place, well, the Lord knows where you are, and he'll be speaking to this person. We're out there. You got to go to Houston Revival Center. And then one day he'll come, he'll obey, he'll come to Houston Revival Center, and you'll get your miracle. Or if you need a certain teaching in a certain area, the Lord will bring it here. Or if you need connection to your destiny, to your next step, the Lord will send someone. My dear friend in the early 80s was leading intercession, and she knew she was called to the mission field. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm willing to go to the mission field. And he told me I was called to be a missionary here. But she was in this little church, probably 20 people, and a missionary came through that church, connected her to go to Guatemala for 5 years, and then from there she went to Bogota, Colombia, and she's been there since the 80s. But, you know, but she was connected to her destiny by being in the place that God called her to. And the Lord moves through relationships. He sent his son. He didn't send an angel. So whatever our destiny is, whether it's ministry, business, marriage, it's going to come through a connection to people. You know, and we connect to people when we're in the body of Christ. And I was in this church. I was in Houston, Texas for 7 years, and I went to two churches, and I knew that I was not in my church home when I was in the second church. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go to church because I believe in being in church. I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. I'm going to go to church. But I said, this doesn't feel like home. I had a church home where I moved when I lived in Seattle. This is not my home. Where is my home, Lord? Is this my home? He'd always say no. I'd say, is this my home, Lord? Because I would go with someone who would minister at another church. No, that's not your home. You know, or someone would come minister to that church. Maybe that's my pastor. No, that's not your pastor. And then one night, I was invited to come to Houston Revival Center, which was at the time called Covenant Worship Center, by a little lady that goes here named Santa, and they were having Sunday night church, and my church didn't have Sunday night church. And I went to this little upper room, and LaRue didn't even minister, but I knew that was my home church. It was, you know, I knew it was the same anointing I came from, and he was connected to Dave Robertson, and my church was connected to Dave Robertson in Washington State. So it's just so important. And something else that I love about this church is that when people are here for a time and leave for whatever reason, you know, sometimes mad, sometimes they, you know, make mistakes. If they come back, the leadership here always has an open heart to receive them. And I have been in churches where pastors literally give people a cold shoulder forever. And then if someone at this church feels led to leave, this leadership will bless you and send you out, even if they don't agree with it. I have been in churches where the only way you can be blessed and sent out is if you're moving to another state, literally. You know? And I love the freedom, you know, because we're not all called to the same place. Some people are called here for a season, and some people are called to stay. But the main point is you need to know your calling and not let offense move you. You need to move with a God purpose. Let God move you. And if you're being moved with a God purpose, just communicate to the leadership and let them pray for you and bless you. And if it pans out, great. If it doesn't, there's always an open door to come back. So we don't need to close that door of relationship. And the foundation of this church has been built on much prayer and fasting. We were a people pursuing to hear God's voice, and we were pursuing revival. I mean, every morning coming in here at 4 or 5 a.m., we were just radical, radical. And LaRue always gave freedom to the intercessors. And then the Lord spoke clearly to LaRue, and he laid out the vision of this church, and that's divine order for the vision to come from the head. So it's laid out. So the vision will come forth quicker if we all get in unity and back it and speak with one mind and one purpose. The vision, it's not going to come from someone in the pew. The vision is going to come from the leadership. We need to get in unity with that and let the oil of unity flow. He has a future and a hope for our church body and for all of us individually. Jeremiah 29:11. And so we just need to support one another. And my passion is to teach the body of Christ how to hear God's voice and tools to cultivate a deeper relationship with God. And so I just think that we never should forget the foundation of this church, and whatever we add to it is great. But if the new people coming in don't know how to hear God's voice and how to connect to Him, then they aren't going to be able to build, you know. And we were built on a foundation of training people in a lifestyle of praying in tongues, worship, fasting, decreeing, meditating God's word, assimilating His word, and waiting before Him. And together we're a great army that's going to have the most glorious year ahead of us. And I really believe that through all the sifting and all the trials, that the people now who have stayed, I really do believe there's unity, there's purpose, there's oneness, there's a planting of the Lord, you know, and we have a foundation that God can build on. But we need to keep it. We need to work at keeping the unity, you know, because the enemy is always active. So we need to be one step ahead of him and give offense no place, you know. And if you feel called to do something, if you just stay faithful, the Lord will raise you up here. Your gift will make room for you. Or he'll open a door through a connection here. And he will bring forth your destiny and the dream in your heart. But it just takes faith, patience. Faith works through love. Faith works through patience. And you will see God's glory come upon you and your household and the vision in your heart come to pass. Amen.